Welcome to the ADHD and HD podcast. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD or suspect you do have ADHD, then this is the podcast for you. This podcast is focused on helping entrepreneurs, public figures, and CEOs thrive while living with an adult diagnosis of ADHD. My name is Ashley Brianna Eve, a triple certified coach, including in positive psychology and human design. I fuse the spiritual with logical, scientific principles to help you flourish despite your diagnosis. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the channel, everybody. My name is Ashley Brianna Eve, and I'm so honored to have you here. All right. First, I'm going to say that you might hear chirping in the background. We moved where some of the chicks are. So I breed chickens on our hobby farm, and some of them are inside. It's too cold to put them outside right now. And I moved where they are, and who I suspect is a little rooster in the white Americana group chirps nonstop. So if you hear that, that is exactly what it is. And we are talking about ADHD, HD, human design, and kids today. Now, this is a topic I've had clients request me to talk on for years. It is something that I've supported clients with within their families behind the scenes. I haven't ever offered something like this to the public. It's something I work with privately with my clients and their kids and their family. And for those that don't know, my background is in psychology. I actually specialized in psychology of the child. It was a particular interest of mine due to a little bit of a wild childhood, if you will, and my own ADHD diagnosis. I wanted to understand myself better and how we can support kids better. And that was, I still remember so vividly in my head the day I yelled at my mom. She was up the stairs at our farmhouse, at the farm we had. And I sat at the foot of the stairs and I just yelled that I wanted to study psychology of the child so that I could help people raise their children based on their strengths. And I was maybe like 12 or 13 at the time. So it's no surprise I ended up even into human design, of course. Helping people leverage their strengths has always been a particular interest. So I did work in group homes with youth, with children, as well as with adults, and particularly with kids that had OCD, oppositional defiant disorder, anxiety, depression, ADHD, a whole host of mental health diagnoses that I was supporting them within as a counselor and as a youth worker at that time. So this is something that I've been involved in the industry for a long time. Again, it's just not something I really talk about. I did launch a human design and kids course ages ago, it feels like, probably 4 years ago. However, it's a little bit off brand. And I also believe it's something that really needs to be spoken about. So the reason why my clients have been saying, can you talk on this? Can you talk on this? Is because they've been seeing it talked a little bit more about in the children's space within the HD human design community. And people wanted to know my opinion on it and how I saw it. So I figured that's what we will talk about here today. So let's do it. All right. So first I want to say, when we're looking at ADHD and children or even adults, your child's human design did not cause their ADHD. Just like I don't believe that in just writing off their symptoms based on their design is effective or going to help your child, right? To just say, oh, they're just a manifesting generator. That's just how they are. Well, maybe not necessarily. Maybe they do actually require support for ADHD as well. So the human design did not cause it. There's no human design that's more prone to it, of course. And when we're looking at human design, we can see how certain things are amplified due to their design, due to their definition, due to their openness. We can look at how maybe they and that particular child experiences their ADHD and the symptoms that they experience. Because even when we look at children that have ADHD or adults that have ADHD, no one's going to be expressing it the exact same way, right? So we can have this window into how do we support children or adults based on their unique design and their unique strengths. But it didn't cause your ADHD or your child's ADHD, and it's not because of it or a certain activation that you have it. And I think this is where the online space has kind of gone in two directions in terms of the human design. It's like, oh, just write it off. it's just because they're a generator. They have that sacral. They need to wear off their sacral energy. That's why they're like that. Or the other side is, well, yeah, your child's ADHD is a cause of their human design X, Y, and Z because of these definite aspects of their definition or these gates or this type that they are. And I'm not in either camp. And I think either camp has the potential to be dangerous. You'll find if you're in my world long enough and you work with me, I'm always in the gray zone because that's where we live. That's the reality of the situation. It's not, I mean, if things were as easy as black and white, imagine that, right? But it's not. We live in the gray zone. And so learning how to help children or adults or anyone with a diagnosis like ADHD is not going to be as easy as, oh, no, it has nothing to do with it because look at their design, or it has everything to do with it because of their design. And this is also why when I work with my clients, whether it's in business or deconditioning offers or anything like that, I'm never of the mindset, and I'll never be the mentor for someone if they come to me saying, well, all I want to do is learn human design from you. All I want to do is sit there and learn human design. I want human design to explain everything in my life and business, because it can't. It never can. It never can. And that's where a lot of people get stuck, I find, is looking for something, a system such as human design to explain everything for them. And it doesn't. All right. Oh, I already switched the page. So ADHD in the center. So I think the first thing that we look at, sure, is type. And we're just doing a mini overview here. So something I wanted to look at is the expression of the centers. This is one way we can understand how children are experiencing the energy around them. And especially if we're looking at the household. I mean, if you have, say, two parents and a child, we're also looking at a penta there. That's not even a connection chart. That's a pentagraph, which complicates it even more. So there's so many factors and so many layers to how a family's energy is going to interact, a parent and the child's energy is going to interact, how the child's energy is going to interact at school. There's so many factors that go into this, but we can look at the centers. So when we're looking at the head center at the top, it's inspiration. There's, you know, that mental, when we're looking at the head in the ajna, you're going to get that mental anxiety, mental pressure. The ajna center is going to be conceptualization. The throat is communication, manifestation, and action. The identity and self, identity of self, your direction, your self-love, love of the other is going to be the G center. The heart center is also called the ego center very frequently. It's going to be that willpower. And the splenic center on the left is intuition, instinct, fear. It's that instinctual fear in the immune system. On the right, solar plexus is going to be your emotions, feelings, and nervousness. And we're going to pick just a couple things to look at today. The middle is the sacral center. So that's going to create a generator or a manifesting generator. That's going to be life force energy. It's a motor. It is, for adults, we look at it as like that work energy. For more children, I look at it as like burning off just that internal fire throughout the day. And also having them work, using air quotes, on things that light them up for sure. And then the root is life fuel, pressure, stress, adrenaline, and that pressure is that pressure to move, to get things done. So wherever your child has definition, where it's colored in, that's a fixed, reliable energy within them. And when we're looking at fixed, reliable energy, it does not mean that it's being used correctly. I have one example that we're going to go over. However, it might be something where they're consistently expressing, for example, in the path we've gone down with ADHD, they're consistently expressing certain aspects of ADHD. Like, it's consistent that this is an issue. And then their openness is receptive. That's where there's conditioning. That's where they take in the energy around them. And anywhere that's white in their chart, they're amplifying the energy around them at 200%, and it's inconsistent access to that energy. Something we want to keep in mind is something like human design. Well, human design is based on the Chinese I Ching. The Chinese I Ching is a map of our DNA sequence. It actually effectively and down to every detail mapped out the DNA sequence before science had. That's where your 64 gates come from in human design. So we have everything. Just because something's white doesn't mean you're missing it, doesn't mean your child is missing it. You have everything. It's just how you experience it. So when it's open, that's receptive, that's conditioning. And that could be something where maybe a certain aspect of their ADHD is only being experienced around a certain parent while they're at school, in certain circumstances, because they might be potentially amplifying the energy around them. And an example I can use for that would be the solar plexus. If they have an undefined or open solar plexus, those emotional outbursts you might notice are worse when, say, mom or dad comes home from work and that person has a defined solar plexus and that person is emotionally charged. That person had a tough day at work and they're emotionally charged. So they're bringing those emotions into the home. Your child's amplifying those emotions. And now you think, where did this emotional outburst come from? Like, they're regulating their emotions fine. And now there's this emotional outburst and they only seem to have this characteristic of ADHD or this aspect of it in certain circumstances. And that can also lead to complications in diagnosis or even delays in diagnosis. I personally wasn't diagnosed until my mid-30s, right? So, and I'm finding now, even Mel Robbins, she's talked about it. There's a lot of people that are finding a lot of my clients themselves actually being diagnosed as adults because a lot of it maybe didn't make sense as children or it was overlooked of, oh, it's just because so-and-so comes home emotionally charged from work or upset from work. And that's the only reason this is happening. And potentially, and there might actually be more going on there. So how can we look at the body graph from more of an objective perspective and even the children and look at it from a perspective of, okay, yeah, that actually might be the case. And maybe there's something else. Maybe there is actually also ADHD and we can support the child in different ways. And like I said, when we're looking at the function of the household, we're looking at pentagraph. So it's very different than a connection chart. One of the things that Ross said is when we're looking at the penta, it takes what it needs and leaves the rest. So it's not as simple as just adding everyone's charts together and seeing what comes up. It's also not as easy as a connection chart where you take maybe you and your child and put them together and then you get this, the relationship in the middle. However, we're just going to focus on this today. So your child amplifies your energy at 200%. Again, where they are white, they amplify. That's where they go to school in life. That's where they gain their wisdom, where they're white in their chart, where it's defined, that's their consistent access to strengths. And again, we can start to look at, even when we're managing symptoms in the home, of what is amplified at certain times. And it can also maybe be an aspect of, and I believe this fully, the parents learning more about their design, how their design impacts their kids, emotional regulation within the parents, so that the child that has ADHD isn't amplifying dysregulated energy. So now you have a child with ADHD that's amplifying dysregulated energy. And then we wonder why the child's, you know, high strung and bouncing off the walls and having these outbursts. Well, they're around people with dysregulation, amplifying the dysregulation already because they amplified it 200%. And then they're amplifying it within an ADHD brain. So it definitely has the potential to complicate the situation. But when we go first as adults and we understand our design, we can understand how our children may be amplifying. I don't personally have children. I've worked with children, of course, for years and years and years within the field, but I personally don't have children. So I'm using like the collective we can understand how children are amplifying the energy around them. And then we can also understand, because here's the thing, and what I don't agree with is, well, one, actually, I want to back up one step. I do agree with medication. I think working with a psychiatrist, working with professionals, and discussing the appropriate path of treatment is critical. And I actually wish that I had been diagnosed younger, so that could have been taken care of younger. So I'm not against medication. And no matter what we're looking at in the mental health realm, medication is not a cure-all. It's not going to fix everything. So we need to also look at how can we support the child within the house, because the medication itself is not going to be a cure-all. So how do we support them? And human design gives us a window into that. One of the things I love to do, whether with kids or with adults, is supporting strengths. Anything defined, again, in your child's chart is a strength. When when it's used correctly, it can also be used incorrectly, which is called the unhealthy expression of it. And I'll show you what that means for this channel. So ADHD can be expressed as, we hear this a lot, right? The anger, emotional outbursts. We can see that amplification within the ADHD child of the frustration with the generator, manifesting generator, the anger of the manifester, bitterness of the projector, disappointment of the reflector, depending on your child's design. So when we're looking at leveraging strengths and supporting the ADHD child, we really want to look at how do we actually leverage their strengths? How do we allow them the opportunity to do what they're best at? And for me, that's supporting what I believe healthy adults that then feel safe and secure in doing what they're best at in a career rather than what they should, need, or have to based on the conditioning around them. So if we're looking at the strength of imagination, it's 41 to 30. This is what it's called. Now, that language is from BG5, the strength of imagination. And while that's a business application, I actually do borrow some of the language. I'm not going to lie. Borrow the language for parents that aren't really on the spiritual awakening path. Because here's the thing. Human design is very esoteric. And I do work with a lot of people that are CEOs, established entrepreneurs, public figures, and to start talking about the really esoteric terms of the human design language doesn't always work. So this is a child that has a strength of imagination, or an adult that has a strength of imagination. So here's the thing to keep in mind, and why I want to say when we support strengths, we can also help reduce the frustration, the anger, the bitterness, or disappointment, and foster what they're best at. The strength of imagination has a desire for new experiences. They're going to get bored easily. All right. So that's something really important to understand. This is a child that is going to get bored easily. They're not going to be someone that really wants to sit there with tedious tasks. They're not going to be able to sit for a long time with tedious tasks. They might appear to have a short attention span. Well, here's the thing. Again, this channel does not cause ADHD. However, a lot of the things, if you have an ADHD child, or maybe you have ADHD yourself and you're hearing this, you're going, oh my goodness, those are symptoms of ADHD. Unable to sit still, short attention span, unable to really stick to tedious tasks because you have this big imagination. You're the dreamer, really, when we're looking at 41 to 30, it's the dreamer. Let me go out and have these experiences. Let me experience life. Let me try new things. That's what we're experiencing with the 41 to 30. So then, you know, we take these kids and we put them in a classroom for 8 hours and say, no, sit down. You're not having any new experiences. You're sitting here and doing this tedious task all day. We're going to see that amplification of symptoms, right? Because now you have a child that their strength, their inherent strength and who they are, is desiring new experiences, going out, literally getting their hands dirty in life. And now we're sitting them down at a desk and saying, no. You're going to do these tedious tasks. Now, there are kids, of course, that maybe have more of a neuro or have a more of a typical brain that works better for, although, you know, there's things I could say about the school system. We're not going to say that here, that it works better for. Or what you also might find is, for me myself, I don't have this channel in particular. However, I have ADHD. Again, like I said, I was diagnosed as an adult. I could force myself to sit down and do tedious tasks and have the attention span and all those things, but it kind of short-circuited, burned me out in many other ways. So there's different ways that can be expressed for sure. So this channel did not cause your child's ADHD if they have this channel. Yet we can look at, and what I look at with families that I work with, is how do we support them in this? I actually had a client, and I know and I understand this is not for everyone, and not everyone has the capability of doing this, right? So we have to also work. One, we're looking at working within the limitations of someone's design, because when we look at human design, the point of it is we are inherently limited, is what human design is telling us, and the limitations within the family as well, right? So I did have a client, one client in particular comes to mind right off the top of my head, where she pulled her kids out of school. She had two kids with this channel, and one was diagnosed ADHD, one was not. Pulled them out of school and had the ability to do that. Not everyone has the ability to do that, but then fostered an environment that nurtured the strength of new experiences, nurtured the strength of almost that entrepreneurial mind and that inventor mind. Now, again, not everyone can do that. However, that's how one of my clients in particular has nurtured that strength within her child. Now, looking at, like I said, understanding the openness, now, typical generator, ADHD generator that I am, we already got here. However, we looked at strengths, right? How can we leverage what's defined in your child's chart to set them up for success and to simply be aware of where we actually might be working against their strengths or what's inherent to them that's going to amplify the ADHD symptoms, right? So we don't want to just over-medicate. We want to be able to manage it in different ways. But let's also look at, like I already spoke about, because that's just how my brain works, understanding openness. So emotional dysregulation is increasingly recognized as a core feature of ADHD. Now, like I was saying, in a child that has an undefined or open solar plexus, they're taking in the emotional energy from around them in the household and amplifying it at 200%. So we're already potentially dealing with a child that has emotional dysregulation, potentially dealing with adults in the household that have emotional dysregulation. I know, you know, it reminds me all the time of Tony Robbins, where he says, like, it's not you though, right? It's like, we're not the problem. Our nervous system isn't the problem. What are you talking about? It's not me, it's the kid, right? The amount of times I had those conversations as a counselor, like I said, I don't have my own kids, but it was always the psychology of the child was a focus of mine in university and a passion of mine. And the amount of times I had that conversation with parents, I wish I knew human design back then. I did not. I've been out of the counseling field for a long time. I mean, not a long time. I'm not old enough to have been out of the field for a long time. All right. So potentially we have a child with emotional dysregulation inherent to their brain. They have an open or undefined solar plexus. So they're already amplifying the 200% the energy around them. You are potentially now adding into the mix parents that have not dealt with their own trauma that potentially maybe are undiagnosed ADHD as well. Like I said, it was mid-30s for me. I think Mel Robbins talked about was in her 40s. She was actually diagnosed by accident. So you're adding potentially adults that are struggling with emotional regulation. And then, you know, the adult comes home from work, enters the house, upset at a bad day of work, maybe stressed over certain things within work or the household. And now you have this child that's amplifying the dysregulation. So not only do we start out with a child that has regulation issues, but now we're amplifying it at 200%. And then again, what's happening, what I'm witnessing happening, and I'm going to stress this again, I'm not against medication. It's usually more medication and more bad child labels, right? That are being placed on the child when it's like, okay, but let's take a step back and actually understand what's going on. Let's understand what's going on. One, parents, take radical responsibility for your own energy first. And two, how's the child experiencing the energy in the household? What's going on there? So while the undefined emotional center, it's not, if you have an undefined or open solar plexus, well, you're ADHD or your child's ADHD, or if you have this channel, you're ADHD. It's not how it works. What I like to look at is how is the interplay between the brain and the energy? The brain and strengths, the brain and where we're going to experience certain, you know, pitfalls, if you will, or areas of stuckness or areas of amplification of a certain diagnosis. That's what I like to look at, because I am not of the path that we see so much in the online space that's like, screw ADHD, it doesn't exist. Your child's just a generator. Let them run free for 12 hours a day and they'll be fine. Or the opposite way, what we see so often is like, well, yeah, it's explained by your chart. Neither is correct, in my opinion. You can throw that in the fuck it bucket if you desire. So the undefined solar plexus, for example, when we're looking at, so I'm looking at the inherent use of the undefined solar plexus here, can have your child experiencing their fears through emotional nervousness, appearing restless or having outbursts. So when we're looking at fears, fears are inherent of awareness centers. So you're going to get your instinctual fears of the splenic center, your anxiety type fears, mental fears of the ajna, and then the emotional fears of the solar plexus. So you're going to have a child that's amplifying, not just amplifying the emotional nervousness around them, right? Because if that's undefined, they're amplifying the energy around them. So potentially amplifying others in the house, emotional fears and emotional nervousness at 200%, but it can create this restlessness and outbursts. And I know for myself, speaking for myself here, is I can, it's, it amplifies my ADHD when I'm around people that are in their, I have, this is my chart right here. Open solar plexus. When I'm around people that are really in their emotional nervousness, really in the fears of the solar plexus, it amplifies my ADHD. And of course, over the years, I've been better at regulating that and working with that because, I mean, it's my job as a coach and a mentor to regulate and manage that. However, I can say from personal experience, and even as a child, that restlessness came from it. And I even, my someone close to me, my family, I don't want to start ratting out my family, but we've also developed two very obvious tics that, you know, for me, I'll just tell you guys, why not? So this is from the time I was a child. So I have like silk scrunchies and stuff. And when I was a child, I would like anything that had this texture, I'd have like this emotional nervousness that would come out in like physical tics when I was a child. From being in a household that was very volatile and being in a household where there was a lot of emotional nervousness, my restlessness wouldn't often come out externalized. My restlessness would often come or be experienced internalized and someone else in my household as well. And so for me, you'd see me like this emotional nervousness and this restlessness and this amplification of emotions around me would come out in these little tics that I would develop. So that was how I experienced it as a child with that open solar plexus. And that's, again, something we want to keep in mind, not just for children, but for adults, is like restlessness, nothing has meaning until we give it meaning. I told you, now the little baby rooster is chirping away. I don't know if you guys can hear it. Nothing has meaning until we give it meaning. So restlessness, often we also think of like ants in your pants, but it depends on how it's being expressed. Is it externalized or internalized? A high level of sensitivity to emotional energy around them. So again, what we're seeing is, are those outbursts amplified by the emotional energy around them? An ADHD symptom of appearing to be unable to listen to carry out instructions can be amplified here. So the not self-characteristic of the open solar plexus is avoiding decisions, especially avoiding emotional decisions. Does that sound familiar? Avoiding confrontation. And the opposite of that can almost be reactive in, you know, they've internalized that avoiding confrontation so much that now they're reactive and reacting. However, usually we're going to see in the beginning this avoiding confrontation, avoiding emotional decisions, avoiding truth that's expressed through the emotional center. And reacting impulsively, right? So we see this in ADHD symptoms and the not self, when that energy is not being used in a healthy way or expressed in a healthy way. In the solar plexus, we're going to see reacting impulsively with emotional decisions in the moment. Again, one, amplifying outbursts, but might be amplifying what we perceive to be, well, look how impulsive they are. They're doing dangerous things. They're not thinking it through. You know, for myself, I left my master's in social work and decided overnight, basically, I was going to Australia with my boyfriend at the time, right? Like, and there was all these situations I look back on and I'm thinking, no one ever thought to be like, we got to get this girl diagnosed with something, like no physicians, anything. And I think a part of it for me is I have such a high performance, so wildly successful from the time I was little. And I believe my belief was to really avoid confrontation in my family because it was an expectation for myself that you are champion in everything you compete in. So I was figure skater, horseback rider, soccer player, track and field. And it was like anything I picked up, people wanted me to be competitive in. Even at school, I didn't seek out soccer. Soccer sought out me. But I really believe as a child, it was this taking on the energy of those around me. And I wanted to avoid the confrontation if I got like a B. I wanted to avoid the confrontation if I got reserve champion. I wanted to avoid the confrontation if I wasn't good at something. So there was this like buckling down that I did that allowed me to be such a high performer that I really believe no one even thought of it. They thought, yeah, Ashley's a little bit restless. Sure, she's got all this energy. Just put her in more sports. And I would go from 6 a.m., go to school. I would do my homework in the car going to sports. I'd go to the rink, go to the arena, go to the skating rink and then riding arena, barn, and just like go, 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 go. Shower when I got home, go to bed and do it all over again. So I think it was just, and I believe this is what is happening for a lot of kids that maybe have that open solar plexus maybe live in, you know, maybe a little bit of a volatile home, or maybe they're afraid of that confrontation. And I think sometimes as adults, we have to realize our role in that, right? They're afraid of that confrontation. So they're like, shit, like I have to be a doctor. I have to get A's. I have to do everything right. And that can also compound the anxiety for sure. And the emotional outbursts. So what I wanted to just bring to attention here today is looking at the child holistically and looking at the lens of human design and ADHD in a different light. Because again, like I said, I'm seeing this or that in the online space, and I personally don't believe either is conducive to actually helping children or adults, to be honest. I don't think either gives someone the skills to thrive or flourish. I don't think that either just send the generator off to be busy morning and night and wear out that sacral energy is effective. And I also don't believe blaming human design is effective. I think what we need to look at is looking at both children and adults holistically, getting a deeper understanding of how the brain's working and also how they're energetically wired, how they're energetically taking in the energy around them to best support the family and best support the child. And I also believe that it fundamentally starts with us as adults when we're around kids. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. This is it's a topic that's really close to my heart. I haven't been in the child field in a very long time working with kids, other than, like I said, the odd one-on-one client I did for about a year in my coaching practice, work with quite a few families that had children that were struggling in school or struggling in the home due to ADHD. But it's not something that in a professional capacity as a counselor I've been in for a long time, but it is something that's really close to my heart. And when a lot of people are reaching out to talk on a topic, I'm more than happy to oblige and talk on that topic. All right. So if you enjoyed this, what I would ask is to either on Instagram, take a screenshot, share, tag me at I am Ashley Brianna Eve, or just show this, bring the link to someone, and it might help them understand their child on a deeper level, or maybe even understand why maybe traditional therapy and medication, solely traditional therapy and medication, has not been the best route in helping their child. They keep bumping up against the same things over and over and over again. This can provide a different lens. And to learn more about me, you can go to ashleybrannaeve.com or holistichumandesignanalyst.com. Those are both my websites. And I'd love to discuss with you different ways I can support you and your family. Have a great day.